flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a pretty insane Friday. We got a couple coaching bits of news there, including another head coaching hire, surprising OC fire. But for the Browns, no Friday news dump yet. But we did have Dane Brugler on with the Morning Boys backups.
Without the Morning Boys.
With Daryl and Andy. He went into the conversation where there's a lot of talk about, well, how much do you really want a quarterback in this class? How good is this quarterback class? And he said that's kind of an understandable stance.
You know, if these guys were in last year's draft, they're fighting it out for quarterback 7 and 8. You know, you can talk yourself into taking them early, but it's just about getting it right. When you look at these quarterbacks, if you are able to convince yourself that, hey, look what he offers. We think that he can be an NFL starter. We feel like he can help us compete for divisions. Then you have to take a long look at that. It's perfectly understandable for you to have reservations about this group. I think a lot of teams are going to look at this quarterback class and say, you know what, we're going to get our, let's get our tackle in the top 10. Let's get our pass rusher in the top 10, and we'll wait to day 2 to get a quarterback, which you don't usually hear in most drafts.
Now, you have been more of the, I don't say the quarterback defender, but I think you're more aggressive when it comes to you're already ready and sold on these quarterbacks. So when you hear that, like, what's kind of your reaction? Because I think Daryl tried to take a victory lap on today's show.
I'm interested to see what Dane comes away with when he actually goes to the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl, and if that changes his perception or perspective on either one of these quarterbacks in the slightest bit. I do think it's interesting that he can say 7th or 8th, but then in his own mock draft 2 weeks ago, he had last week, he had Cam Ward going 1, and he had Shador going 6th to the Raiders.
You're saying he's a hypocrite.
I'm not saying that.
Tell him, King.
Well, I mean, if you're going to tell him, is he going to make him the 7th or 8th best quarterback, then go ahead and put him outside of the first round. Actually do that in the draft, because you know that's not reality, and you know they're going to go basically at some point where he's set.
I think he's saying one thing, which is they don't stack up to last year's class or the first 5 or 6 guys off the board. That's his personal evaluation.
Right.
I mean, I think we have to have some sort of understanding that quarterbacks get pushed up the board all the time.
For sure. And he did the one thing that I get bothered by, and I've been bothered by the entire process. I found an Instagram clip from November where Dane Brugler was talking about Shador Sanders. And in that clip, he said, I'm not impressed by the physical traits, which is the exact line that he used earlier today on with Daryl and Baskin. And it felt like to me he hadn't updated his opinion on Shador Sanders. He's got a lot of work to do with these guys between Shador, between Cam Ward. But he's also got 450 people that he goes ahead and, where are they at here, here, and here? And I got the same lines from November. I got the same lines from August. I got the same lines for months from him on what he thinks about Shador Sanders. And maybe that's just what he thinks about Shador, but I don't think the same thing I thought about Shador in August. I don't think the same thing I thought about Shador in November. And a lot of the people, like in the past 24 hours, I've heard Mel Kiper speak glowingly. I've heard Todd McShay speak glowingly. Like all sorts of different people that are updating it constantly speak a completely different way. And I just feel like when you use the same lines from there to here, I just don't know that he's done that quite yet. But he's got a lot of work ahead of himself. He's going to go to the Shrine Bowl. He's going to go to the Senior Bowl. We'll see what changes.
I think what's interesting about what you're saying is, though, you have said a couple times, like, find me, you know, somebody that's saying this quarterback class is underwhelming now. Because that's what people were saying 2 months ago. You do have somebody there, a respected draft Nick, that is doing that. And, so I think that is something that, like, you know, whether it's he hasn't quite updated his board yet or whatever, I think that is worth, you know, definitely addressing with the idea that, okay, that has to kind of factor into your expectations for Shador if you do end up taking him at two.
Sure. And yeah, no, there's no denying that. When it comes to Shador and it comes to Cam Ward, I wish his draft board reflected what his statements were trying to say. But he also then in that...
Well, but his draft board, it's a predictive.
Hold on, but not in that clip, but in one of the clips he had earlier today with Andy and with Daryl, he said he's an NFL talent. I think people latched onto the idea that it was somehow dismissive of Shador and Cam Ward, and I didn't really read it that way. Like, he didn't say he can't play. He didn't say he wasn't good. He said, quote, NFL talent. That's an NFL talent. NFL starter is what he said. NFL starter, which is, it leads me to everything I believe about Shador to begin with anyway. He has enough of the tools to be able to be a quarterback that is a franchise quarterback. A lot of this does come to the organization.
That's not what he said. He said an NFL starter. That's not the same thing as a franchise quarterback.
Well, right? If you're starting in the NFL, you can be a franchise quarterback.
So there are 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, starting quarterbacks that are franchise quarterbacks?
Well, I guess I wish we would have had a follow-up there with Dane Brugler.
Well, no,
on
what exactly his specifications were there. It's more your specification, which is you say if you start in the NFL, you can be a franchise quarterback.
I'm just saying he wasn't lighting them up. He wasn't saying Cam Ward or Shador Sanders are this complete, you know, bad talent or anything. I mean, again, 2 months ago, we also compared him to Jordan Love. Like there's things Dane Brugler clearly likes about Shador Sanders and likes about Cam Ward. There are things he likes about him. He just thinks they'd be the seventh or eighth quarterback, which right now, coming off when the fifth quarterback was Bo Nix, the guy that played in the postseason, I understand why some draft people would think that. For sure I do.
216-474-0092. So you heard from Dane Brugler there. Is this enough to impact your thinking on the quarterback class coming in? We do have a lot to get in on today's show. Ben Lieber of KFIN in Minneapolis and the Vikings Radio Network. We're going to pick his brain on Sam Darnold. And obviously, last time we saw Sam Darnold, not great, Bob. The last two games, the last game of the regular season against Detroit and then the playoff game, we did not see a good Sam Darnold. The seven games before that, he was pretty unstoppable. But we get Ben's thought on whether Sam might hit the open market. That's at 240. We've got quick hits at 320. We've got Dan Devine, senior NBA writer, on the heels of Cavs All-Stars, who made it, who didn't. Dan think somebody should be a starter that wasn't a starter from the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've got Derek Rackley. He's going to be on the Westwood One call Chiefs-Bills this weekend on a game. You're going to hear right here on 92.3 The Fan. And get his take on whether he leans Bills or Chiefs in this game, as it is a football Friday, as it is an F-off Friday. I think you can do both, by the way. Like, I think you can respect what Shador is. And here's the other thing. This actually is a rebuttal, and not a rebuttal. It's a defense of you liking Shador. Just because somebody thinks he might be a starter, but not an elite player, well, yeah, that they get him wrong. Now, usually it's you think he's a starter and he's not. But, I mean, there have been plenty of guys, well, he's going to be a good starter, but he's not elite. And then you go out there in the NFL and you're a really, really good or even elite starter.
Yeah, and one quick point, we'll do more on this on the other side, obviously. But I do think it just comes down to preference. And what it sounds like to me is Dane Brugler has a preference with some of these quarterbacks. It's do you like cheese pizza? Do you like pepperoni? Shador is not for everyone. He's not 6'5", 250. He can't throw the ball 85 yards in the air on a dime. Like, that's not what he does. Like, his game is a throwback game, which if you are one of these new age scouts and you like the latest, greatest, that's not what Shador Sanders is going to offer you, which, by the way, isn't what Kevin Stefanski would want in his system either, by the way.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You heard Dane Brugler. We've heard, again, he kind of echoes, this is not the strongest quarterback class. Does that change how you feel at two? And the other thought on the quarterback class that might sway your opinion on the Browns options at 224 on 92.3 The Fan. Because I love the idea of where does this class stack up against last class?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you only do it with the top two quarterbacks off the board. Now, I understand that there's a gap between Shador and whoever QB3 is. But, man, I got to tell you, I'd love, where does Jalen Milroe fit here? Where would Will Howard fit? You know, I think that's because this isn't just going to be something that impacts you at two. It's going to impact how you approach where you think these guys and what round grade they really should get in rounds two, three, and four, where you're going to have other opportunities to grab a quarterback.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it'd be Do you think Jalen Milroe would be a normal end of round one quarterback? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
Well, I mean, it's any of them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think nobody's really solidified, and I don't think there will be, by the way. I think when you go from...
But I mean, that's the hard part, too, though, is comparing it to last year. I mean, last year was such a dynamic class.
Mm-hmm.
And last year might go down the same way that the 2020 class went down, where it just had everybody in it, and you had five legitimate Pro Bowl quarterbacks come out of that. So we just don't know.
But I think that's something I'm interested in, and it's interesting because... You know, there's so many things that during the season, like, I think are good information, good things to square away.
Mm-hmm.
But not like Dane didn't steer me away from the quarterback class. I already kind of feel a certain way about them. But for me, I'm just curious, okay, who can you be? What's the best you can be? Right? And so I'm always intrigued in a class where, like, you might have a quarterback that goes 33 that has a higher ceiling than the guy that goes 2. That's the kind of stuff that I think is, in this kind of class, super relevant. Ceiling versus floor. But, like, even like the reaction earlier this week to Chad Brinker, the Titans president of football operations, say, we're not going to pass up on a generational talent. Oh, my God. No. That means they're going to trade down. That means they're going to do this. That means they're gonna... Like, guys, it's something a GM said January 22nd.
With so many months left.
Well, and even like...
So much time left.
I think it was Pat Leonard, who's a Giants beat reporter, tweeted out today that he's actually heard the Titans are leaning to trading the number one picks, that they want picks.
Yeah, which if you're in the trade out business for the Browns, that can't be good news.
They're two quarterbacks. Yeah, I think quarterback scarcity is going to drive whether you get somebody at one or two. I don't think it's going to be whether... I've made this comparison before. The big concern is, does somebody leapfrog you to take the guy you might want, which is obviously like...
Well, so like I'm thinking about like the Giants, for instance. If the Giants they go to number one because they want Shador, because that's the connection that's been obvious there from Jump Street. Well, now the Raiders aren't going to want to go up to two because they've always been in on Shador, not necessarily Cam Ward.
See, but even that, like they just hired a new head coach. That's going to change things. That could change things.
I know we look a lot into the Tom Brady relationship with Shador, though. At least I do.
Yeah, I just don't make those conclusions right now. Like, I think there are so few good veteran quarterbacks out there that even if you take, even if somebody wants to make Jameis a starter, right, you're still going to go draft a guy. That doesn't mean they're going to trade up to draft a guy.
You're speaking music to my ears here, because this is, I mean, I'm quarterback in this draft, and I think we're going to get there one way or another.
And by the way, I'm not sold that it is, but I think it makes a lot of sense that because of quarterback scarcity, even if the Titans trade out, I don't think there's going to be just one team looking to trade up. And yes, the Titans will get, if this report is true, like, if we just continue to put all this stock into, well, the Titans want picks. Well, and the Titans just said something different. And a month from now, the Titans are going to say something different.
Right.
But it's
what we do. I mean, it's January 24th.
Well, no. So they're good bits of information. They're good things to talk about.
Yeah, we just kind of squirrel them away.
It's the if, right? If the Titans trade down, what does that mean? Well, it means there's one less person to trade up. It doesn't mean that everybody who trades up isn't going to want to trade up. Like, I'm not afraid of the Titans trading down and then they're not being a partner for you, right? And if that's the worst case scenario, you still have the number two pick. You still have your choice of the other quarterback or Travis Hunter or Mason Graham or Abdul Carter. Like, I think there are worse places to be in than we just have to go ahead and sit here and take the number two pick. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you only get the number two pick so many times. You know, it's not a. It's a cool thing. They got a lot of flexibility at number two.
And I think, listen, I know we all have a lot of different things we feel about whether it's Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry, and there's a lot of reasons to be cynical after 3-14.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing on the trade down, my whole thing on keeping open minded too is, I do like Andrew Berry when he has some optionality there. Like, that's where I feel when he has four options that he can take, and then he just gets to choose what's the best one there, right? And sometimes it's, do you draft a quarterback with a first or second round pick, or do you trade for Amari Cooper, right? Like,
I mean, if he wants to put his imprint on this draft, that's how you do it.
Well, but I think
he's gonna, if he goes out of two, and even two will be a massive decision. But if he goes out of two, I mean, this will be. That'll be about as big of a splash as you could possibly make if you're Andrew Berry.
But I think, like, that's what I want. I want as many options on the table, and I really think, I mean, guys at Sam Darnold, and then a bunch of guys that will probably scare a lot of teams. They're going to do it. They're going to sign a Russ. They're going to sign a Kirk Cousins. They're going to sign guys. But they're also going to look at this and go, well, I got to protect myself in the back end here, and I got to have somewhere to go. Maybe some teams like a Milroe in the second round or third round. Maybe some teams like a Wilhelm. Okay. I think there's going to be plenty of teams here that are going after a quarterback to give you that option. It might not be the price inevitably that they want, right? Maybe the Browns have a sky high. Maybe I saw one, and this was a made-up trade. It wasn't a reported trade.
Okay.
But first and second round picks from the Raiders this year and next year. Maybe they don't get that, right? Okay, well then stay, or maybe take a lesser price. I don't know. We'll find out where it goes. But I still think the Browns, and to a bigger degree, the Titans, I think they're both in fascinating situations.
The whole draft is fascinating.
Even
the polarization around the top two quarterbacks is fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so many different angles you can take on all that. The fact that we do have a guy like Dane Brugler on here saying what he's saying, while also saying they both have the tools to be successful and everything else that he said this morning. Like, it's just, they're polarizing quarterbacks.
Am I the only person, and I, just to circle back to this, I'm more interested right now in QB3. And
I can tell you are. Well, I can tell you
and
are.
And it's not because...
It's not a bad thing.
It's not because I'm interested in the Milroe trade-up.
No, go where your interests are. I'd like to find out why.
I think Cam versus Shador is just a preference.
It's right? A preference of style.
Are you going high ceiling but low floor in Cam Ward?
Yeah.
Or are you going, you know, I wouldn't even say a low ceiling. That's not fair. But a lower ceiling and a higher floor with Shador.
Yeah. No, it's a preference of style.
Whereas
sure.
Like Milroe versus Howard versus McCord versus Jackson Dart versus, I mean, any of these dudes, it could be QB3. And here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be uniformity Cam versus Shador. I think it's going to be wildly, wildly different from QBs 3-5 or 3-7.
Well, and the Milroe thing is so fascinating to me because if they take Milroe, they're basically asking Andrew Berry, or they're asking the ownership and the Haslams to give him 3 years to find out if he's even good.
I think that's fair.
There's patience that's going to be attached to Jalen Milroe.
Different player. It becomes the Jordan Love, the Aaron Rodgers, like, all right, can you guarantee Stefanski going to be here the next 3 years?
You know how I think when it comes to this stuff. I'm constantly wondering, how many moves are they doing just to try to preserve their job for as long as they can? Because it's just how I think these guys operate half the time.
216-474-0092. So whether it's the Titans report about them wanting to trade down or the Dane Brugler reservations about this quarterback class, is any of this impacting the way you think about the quarterback spot? There's a name out there that could impact what the Browns do at quarterback. It's Sam Darnold, and Ben Lieber, who's on the Vikings radio network, talks about whether Sam Darnold is likely to hit the open market at 243 on 92.3 The Fan. To go ahead and get to the Sam Darnold part of this equation, our next guest, he is a former Minnesota Vikings linebacker. You know him from KFan in Minneapolis, the Vikings radio network. He's got like 75 jobs. Every time I talk to him, there's another job that Ben Lieber has. He joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Does that sum it up, right? About 75 jobs now, Ben?
Not even close. But you know what? For just the facade of it, it sounds really, really like important. Then yeah, we'll go with 75.
That's really all I ever try and do is just build up our guests by making them sound even more important. Where do you think things stand between the Vikings and Sam Darnold heading into the offseason?
You know, my personal opinion, because here's the thing about the Minnesota Vikings. They're very, very good about keeping secrets. They will not let you know about which way they want to go and which direction and who they want to like target and all this other stuff. So this is purely just my own opinion on this stuff. I think the situation with Sam is the same as it's always been. Thank you very much for the year. Here's your $10 million that we paid you for this gap year. This was always going to be J.J. McCarthy's team as long as he showed us like kind of what we thought, you know, through OTAs and training camp, which he did. You know, when he got injured, everybody's like, man, he was really pushing Sam. He was looking great. He checked all the boxes when it comes to the intangibles. So if that all remains true and he's healthy, this is always going to be JJ's team. So I think the situation is the same. They have a mutual parting of ways where they both thank each other. You know, one thanks the team for revitalizing his career, and the other one thanks them for a heck of a season.
You said it was always going to be this way, but if the final two games had gone differently, do you believe that it would have, if he wins the playoff game, if you're still playing, it's He's still the guy, right?
No, I don't think so. I've been on the side of this where I don't.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Care what happens. If the Vikings made it to the Super Bowl and they lost, if they made it to the Super Bowl and won, I don't think it changes anything. I mean, this is – Kwesi and KOC have been talking about long-term plans – ever since they took over, and they're always looking at the big picture. And I think the big picture was eventually let's get out of a quarterback heavy contract. At the time it was Kirk Cousins. They got out of that. They wanted to draft young. They wanted to use money for once in a really long time to be players in the free agent market and build up this roster with a whole bunch of veterans and a young quarterback. That's pretty much what they've been selling us on this whole time. And so now that we're at this point, I don't think that changes. I don't think they get wooed by this, shiny little object for 1 year and then feel like they've got to pay this guy 3 years and over $100 million and probably most of it guaranteed. I think that was a situation they wanted to get out of even with Kirk Cousins. They certainly were not going to go right back into that boat. And so, I don't really see a scenario where they would have brought him back or should bring him back.
Now, given the scarcity of decent quarterback markets, what do you think there's a chance that they could franchise tag him with the intent to maybe broker a trade and so you can get maybe a draft pick out of this?
Yeah, that's about the only lever that I could see being pulled, and that would be completely just a business decision. And, I think at the time when before we played the Lions and we played the Rams, that franchise tag was probably right around the money that he was going to make anyway. So I think he would have made a nice one-to-one deal. We get compensation for it from draft picks and all this other stuff. Everybody's happy. Now, though, I mean, there's rumors that he lost several million dollars per year. So now that franchise tag might be higher than what people are willing to pay on a year per year basis. So, If the math works out and you don't feel like you're handcuffing Sam Darnold in any way, that he still has a little bit of freedom to move around and kind of pick and choose his team, then I definitely think that that's something that they should utilize because that just makes good business sense.
All right, Ben, I'm just trying to make sure I got this right then. So it sounds like to me you think that Darnold was more just a product of his environment than it was anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's safe to say that. I mean, he's been to three other teams before the Vikings. He has one amazing year under this system and with KOC and Josh McCown. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why you can't lean into that and just say the coaching was incredible. The timing of it with the system and the players all matched up. And, I think that's why, some rumors out there that maybe he slides right into where Matthew Stafford was. And I know Stafford got the team into the playoffs and played well and, a couple plays here and there in Philadelphia, and they could be playing this weekend. But he's also sitting on a massive, massive salary cap number next year. And he's 10 years older than Sam Darnold. And you get Sam going back to Los Angeles, which we all know that's where he's from. He could be very comfortable there, has a house there. And you get him on a much cheaper deal than Matthew Stafford, and he's in the same system, which you think that he should thrive in just like he did with the Minnesota Vikings.
Ben Lieber of KFan in Minneapolis and the Vikings Radio Network on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So if you had asked me going into this year, having watched him when I was in Charlotte and Carolina, having watched him from afar in New York and just every, I would not have said he's a starting caliber quarterback. Then I watched him this year, and I actually came away thinking, well, okay, maybe there is a starter there. Do you still think in another context he is a starting caliber quarterback?
100%. You look at the totality of his season, and yeah, it didn't end on a super bright note. The Rams game, of the 9 sacks that he took, I would probably put 3 of them on him. The rest was just really bad protection, some scheme issues, and I can't put all those 9 sacks on him, even though it sort of looks like that. The game before against the Lions, yes, he had a bad game. I mean, he flat out had a bad game, missed what, probably 3 or 4 touchdown throws and other just key throws. So he had a bad game. Of the full season, he maybe had 2 or 3 bad games. And then the rest of the time, he was MVP numbers. I mean, he was in the sort of fringe conversation, and not many players at that spot can be in that situation and really say, you know, you look at the whole season saying, like, wow, that's not only a starting quarterback, but that's, you know, he's up there in MVP numbers. I mean, that's really legit. So, yeah, I think that he definitely is still a starting quarterback. I think he found something within himself this year, and I'm hoping that he has another successful 7-8 years in him.
Ben, I feel like you're qualified because of the intimate knowledge of Stefanski and him being in Minnesota and everything attached to it to be able to answer this. If you got the notification on your phone, just comes right in, it's like, wow, Sam Darnold to the Browns on a 2-year deal. Your immediate thought for how many wins you feel like Stefanski and company would have with Darnold this next year would be what?
I'd say at least 10. I think he's phenomenal. I mean, I think that'd be a great matchup as well. The definite use of play action pass, which we all know Stefanski uses, would fit right into what Sam was doing. You know, Sam was great against play action pass, or with play action pass. He was great against the blitz. Sans, again, the last 2 games, but he was phenomenal against the blitz. I thought his processing speed was great. Yeah, to find a little bit more balance. And the interesting thing is, you know, Stefanski doesn't get the ball down the field as much as KOC. I mean, that's the one thing that we've learned about KOC in his 3 years here. Like, he loves the ball going down the field on big plays. And we were all sort of clamoring against the Lions there at the end of the season. Like, man, you know, before these guys even come out of the breaks, Sam's getting hit in the back of the head, and they're letting pressure through. Like, let's call something a little bit more layered. You know, have a little bit more checkdowns built in. Have some shorter throws. Well, I think Stefanski does a little bit better job of that. He maybe doesn't do as good of a job getting the ball down the field with big air yards. But, you know, I think sort of a meeting in the middle of the philosophies would work out.
All right, so it's going to be tough to replicate literally everything that Minnesota gave to Sam Darnold to succeed. So what are the non-negotiables you have to have to get something close to the Sam Darnold that you guys saw in Minnesota this year?
Interior offensive line. I mean, that is the one thing that, you know, I don't know how you guys feel like you guys stack up. That's definitely an area of need for us. If there's anything that was blaringly obvious in the last 2 games for us, was we need help in the trenches. Interior defensive line, interior offensive line, and running back and cornerback. And if you guys feel like you can give Sam the protection, man, I you know, you guys may not have a Justin Jefferson, but I think that you're going to get a guy that knows how to get through his reads and get through them quickly. And the one thing that I really appreciate about him was he would make a mistake in the very next series. He'd come back and he would rip one right down the middle, right in between 2 or 3 defenders, and just play with no fear. That's the revelation I think that he probably appreciates out of his own game, is just this fearlessness that he played with.
Ben, we got the national championship rankings. They're down. We got the divisional round rankings and the wild card rankings. They're down. As a man, as a football guy, do you give one single rip about football ratings and analysis of it?
Yes. You're talking viewership?
Yes.
Yes. I think we should care. And I know definitely the NBA cares. Now those numbers are way, way worse than NFL numbers and football numbers. But I think any sort of dip, and it's consistent throughout the season, I think it needs to be looked at. And, the football in general has always sort of looked at it as like, you know, we're too big to fail and this, that, and the other. And they kind of look at the other leagues like they got problems. But I hear from a lot of people that football is getting hard to watch. It's overly litigious. It's too much officiating. There's too many breaks. There's not enough flow. The quality of play is down, for whatever that means. I think the offensive line play is down. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I would love to try to fix the game, from just an X's and O's and execution, but also just from a viewership of, man, just keep the guys on the screen as for long as possible. You know, we don't need these games to go more than 3 hours long, and we certainly don't need to have all these starts and stops and long commercial breaks.
Ben, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And when the Browns sign Sam Darnold, I'm sure we'll have you back.
Yeah, sounds good. Good luck, guys.
Thank you so much. Ben Lieber there, K-Fan in Minneapolis, the Vikings Radio Network. We got to react to his thoughts on Sam Darnold. Does it make sense in another coaching domino falling in the NFL that will impact the Browns in the draft on 92.3 The Fan?